Man, what was I waiting on? Why did I hesitate? This could have been, how long had he waited? I don't know. How about the souls of mankind? Look at the plan of salvation. If I follow these steps that God has given by his word, no matter how I feel, well, I just don't see how doing these things, well, of course I don't see how. I didn't design it. I've got an automobile out there that runs most of the time. I don't always know how it runs. Do I believe it will? Well, I wouldn't have brought it with me tonight if I didn't believe it took me back. Would you? But you know all about it, don't you? Well, some of you might, but I don't. Do I know everything about God's Word? No, and when I live to be, what did I tell you this morning, 110? I certainly won't know. I will just have beginning. I will just have touched my toe in the Jordan River. I was just beginning to learn. Okay, let's go on. Enough time. I want you to notice how that Naaman responded to God's word. How does mankind, and I had that wrote down somewhere, Tim, that you said. Oh, yes, man's response to God's command. That's, I couldn't remember either. How does man respond to what God asked us to do? What did Jesus say? Don't. In other words, I'm going to paraphrase. Don't be discouraged and downhearted when people reject you. Is that what he told his disciples? They rejected him first, didn't he? And when you go out into the world with the religious people you deal with and you try to help them to understand what God's Word has to say, and they, by the teachings they have been taught, just like myself, they reject it. No, it can't be right. That's not right. Don't get disgusted. Don't get downhearted. You know why? Who were the people that crucified the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Was it the wicked, the old robbers out there, the drunkards, the brawlers, them that's back over there that you didn't want to mess with? No. It was the very religious elite in the day that supposedly should have accepted him gladly. They had him put to death. Remember what they told Pilate when he tried to tell him, hey, this man is innocent. I find nothing wrong with him. What did they say? Let his blood be upon us. Now in Acts chapter 2, Peter delivered a sermon. And sometimes we hear it said it's the first gospel sermon after the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Most probably was, I'd say, from the reading in the Word. Peter begins, and he gets up on the day of Pentecost, and he begins with his sermon to these Jews, bringing them closer and closer as he discusses the time periods that he's going to, up to the point of Jesus Christ. And he is building them up to recognize, using the Old Testament as the guide, to recognize that this Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. And he says, therefore, let the house of Israel, verses 36 of Acts 2, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God, not man, but God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Notice their reaction. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Good question, isn't it? Peter's response was, and remember, he was being guided by the Holy Spirit. Had Peter lied or misspoke what they must do, do you think God would have tolerated it? If Elisha had given Naaman false advice, not using God's plan, do you think he would have been healed? Absolutely not. Then Peter said unto them, repent, change the way you're living, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by His authority, for the reason for repentance and baptism, the remission of sins, the taking away of sins. Now, Naaman realized that taking away a leprosy was doing what God said do in the end, and finally. But he argued with it, didn't he? He said, no, I thought... I had my plan. I had decided what God was going to do before I got here, and now He's messed up my plans, and I'm mad. A lot of people today, when they want to serve God, actually get angry when God don't say in His Word what they think He should say. And they get so disgusted, they will not listen. And that's sad, isn't it? They could be like Naaman and never have the sin, the leprosy taken away. Wouldn't it be sad to know you were that close to your greatest life's desire and you walked away from it. You turned away from it. That'd be sad. Peter goes on to say, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and all that are far off, as many as our Lord our God shall call. He calls us by His Word. And as we said earlier, what's our response to God's Word? Each of us has that individual question and responsibility and choice to make. How are you going to respond to God's Word? Now, if you will flip over just a few pages to chapter 7 in Acts, I want to talk to you about Stephen. Stephen was a devout young man. He was one of the seven who had been chosen to help care for the Grecian widows that was there at Jerusalem that needed food distribution, because they were all staying there to learn more about this new covenant of God's. He was also a preacher of God's Word. And he was accused by the religious world of such things as, as perverting their Old Testament Word. Can't say the right word now. Got it in my head. Can't say it. Can't bring it out. Sorry about that. distorting the Old Testament words and being rebellious to God Himself. And they asked, and the high priest asked him in verse 1 of chapter 7, are these things so? And at that point, he begins with Abraham, and actually if you read this and read Peter's sermon, they are much alike, building up to the point of Jesus Christ. At the conclusion, he says, let's drop down to verse 51. Now, what did, if you remember, what did Peter tell those Jews on the day of Pentecost? What were they guilty of? You have crucified. You have murdered the Messiah you've been waiting on for all these years. You were guilty for it. They were pricked in their hearts. And apparently about 3,000 obeyed the gospel and was added to the church in verse 47 of Acts 2. Peter then hears Stephen, let's pick up about 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. He is showing them where they stand, just like Peter did. They were the murderers of Jesus Christ. Here he's telling them who they are and what they are. And he's not just criticizing them because he's angry. He is pointing out to them what ground they're standing on. Just like we all need to know before we'll make a change to serve the Lord. Which of the prophets have you, your fathers persecuted, and they have slain, which have they not persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Same thing. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Now, the old law was given to them by prophets, and he's referring to here as angels, messengers sent so they could have the old law. They wouldn't accept that. When Jesus himself comes to give us this new covenant, they had him put to death. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart. And in Acts 2, those people who heard Peter tell them that they had crucified the Christ, they were pricked in their heart or cut in their heart also. They had a response to God's word. Here, these people also are pricked or cut in their heart. But what did they do? They gnashed on him with their teeth. Different reaction. I take that gnashing on him, that doesn't mean they bit him. Not what it's saying. Have you ever seen somebody get so mad they were gritting their teeth? That's what was taking place. Naaman may have had that response when he first heard the news of what he needed to do. You have two examples here, briefly, of obedience and disobedience. The choice is ours. We make it every day of our life. In all the things we do here in this life, in service to God or living our normal lives, we have choices to make. And it's up to us to make the proper choice. The only way we can be sure we're making the proper choices is if we follow the plan. Now, Naaman wanted to go on down there to Damascus and get dunked in them clean waters for 7 times. It wouldn't have worked. These people at the day of, in Acts chapter 2, their Pentecost, if they had wanted to do some other thing other than what was instructed by the man of God that was delivered to him through him from God, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Do you think they'd have had remission of sins? No. It wasn't following God's plan. Same thing with us today. That's why I said in the beginning, take these notes, these scriptures, study them, see what God has to say. And then, if you do that, I am quite convinced with enough time, you will see clearly God's pattern and plan for salvation. We could talk tonight for another, how long? Hour or two. What did Paul do? Preach to midnight, someone said earlier. Well, I won't do it. But there's many things we could discuss, as I said in the beginning. How about what we call ourselves? They were first called Christians in Antioch, weren't they? Well, what about, what do I call the Lord's church? What did Jesus call it? Matthew 17. I will build what? Your church? His church? He said, I will build my church. Romans 16, Paul, speaking to those early Christians in Rome, giving them the final salutation, closing the book out. He said, salute one another with a holy kiss, the customs. He said, the churches of Christ salute you. I have a big question for everybody here and out in the airways. I don't know where you attend worship. That's your choice. But tell me, can you find the name of that organization in God's Word? And if you can't, why not? If God didn't know about it, perhaps it wasn't in existence at the time that God's Word was written. But now I promise you, in Galatians 1, Paul was not complete. Paul had the very same problems of perversion of the gospel. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another gospel. But there are be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he says, if we are an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you other than that which you've already received, let him be accursed. He says in verse 9, as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. God has blessed us to allow us to receive his word. If I change his word in any way, according to Paul, being inspired of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be accursed. I don't want that. So as Paul told Timothy, I'm going to have to study, show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Our time here is short on this earth. Eternity is long. That's why we come together to reason with one another about God's Word. As I said, those on our ways, please, this is God's plan for salvation for mankind. Compare that to what you've been taught, what you may have heard, what you actually believe. God wants each of us to mold ourselves to His will. If I reject what He has promised me or told me to do, I'm not molded to God's will. I'm molded to my will. And I'd be lost. Mark has for us an invitation song. Why not tonight? In just a moment, Mark's coming up to lead us in this song. If anyone across the airwaves or here have never obeyed the gospel and you have heard things that puts a question in your mind, please contact us. We would love to sit down and open God's Word and see what He says for us to do to be pleasing to Him. My opinion's worthless. My plan would be worthless. God's Word is always right, and He always, always gives us the proper instructions we need. If anyone has a need, would you come while we stand and sing?